Well, we're dealing with some uncharted waters here. Pastor Jordan asked me this week if I had any classes on dealing with a pandemic. You know, it's not something you cover in seminary. It's something you go through, and, you know, and our world today is in chaos. And I know Dr. John MacArthur got an email from him, and they're having a live webinar this morning. James Scudder, who pastors a church in Illinois, Day Spring, is a large church, and they're having a live webinar and talking about how we should respond to all this. And so we just want to share a few biblical truths this morning, just remind us of some things. I'm not going to preach, I'm not going to share any new truth, but just some things that I think we need to remind us of. You know, because, and I've heard a lot from a lot of people in the last few days. You know, and there are a lot of people that say the whole coronavirus things, we're blowing it out of portion, we're way overreacting into everything, and, you know, we just need to trust God. And I would agree with that to a point, but as I prayed this morning, I don't have a relative who's dying in a bed from coronavirus. I haven't lost my business because of the economy and some of the things that have happened. Chances are you haven't either. You know, and so we tend to react differently when, depending on the situation we're in and what we face right here, right now. You know, there are some who have the attitude that we shouldn't listen to the government. We're a church. We should stand for God and follow God. And the church or the government says you shouldn't meet, then we should meet anyway. And, well, what kind of testimony is that to the world? What kind of testimony is that to the people around us? And what does the Word of God say? And so we're just going to look at a couple things this morning. Not going to be long, but I invite you to turn to some passages with me. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. All right, beginning in chapter 12, Paul's talking about righteousness. And then beginning in chapter 13, he talks about in relation to government. So look with me at Romans 13 through verses 1 through 7. It says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. There is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. If you want to have no fear of authority, do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it's a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it's a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it's necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. You know, but there, back in verse 1, be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. You know, God has placed those in authority over us. And there are a lot of times we don't agree with them. We don't agree with their opinion. We don't agree with their politics and some of those things. But the Word of God tells us we are to submit to their authority. And I don't know about you, but I've taken a lot of classes as I worked on my degrees. And I'm working on my seminary degree now. And in my multitude of classes, not one of them dealt with contagious diseases. And so I have to trust those who have studied that and who know that. And try and listen to their advice and trust those who are much more knowledgeable than I am. So, you know, we need to be careful how we make our opinion and how strong we want to make our stand. And realize that God has placed authorities over us for a reason. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And look at verses 25 through 34. The words of Christ. in his Sermon on the Mount, says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat or what will we drink? What will we wear for clothing?' The Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." You know, the challenge is in all of this to trust God. Don't be anxious, do not worry. That's a sin struggle of mine, is to worry, is to fret and think about certain things. And I'm not worried about the virus. You know, if I get the virus, I die from the virus, then that's God's plan. David writes in Psalm 139, verse 16, that God, you ordained the number of my days before as yet there was one of them. He knows the whole plan. You know, that doesn't mean I don't take precautions. I don't wash my hands far more than I used to. And now I'm very, very conscious of how many times I touch my face through the day. You know, and we think about those things, but we're not to worry about them. But, you know, there have been a lot of restless nights the last few days and nights. Not because I'm worried about the virus, but because I'm worried about leading well. You know, and I know a lot of people are looking to me and, Pastor, what are we going to do? What's the decision here? What direction are we going to go? And we all have our own opinions, and we tend to think that our opinions are right and our opinions are best. And so I've received criticism because we're meeting today. I've received criticism because we've canceled some things already. So it doesn't matter what decision we make, it's going to be wrong. And so I have to learn in those things to trust God, not worry about it. You know, and be very concerned with what God's opinion is and what God's plan and his direction is. You know, but I want to lead well. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says this, "The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in you." You know, our focus right now needs to be on God. Our hope needs to be in God. Our trust needs to be in God. And we need to put into practice some of the things that God's Word tells us. Turn over to Matthew chapter 11. Still, Jesus speaking here in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. When he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, that's what we need to do. And we need to trust God. We need to depend on him. We need to rely on him. I need to stop worrying and give it to Jesus. A few months ago, I shared this with you, and that's still a work in progress. But are we going to believe what God tells us is truth? And are we going to put it into practice? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 tells us, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." I want to challenge all of us to do that. You know, the coronavirus is part of our everyday conversation now. Every single one of us has talked about it this week. Every single one of us has passed on things on emails, on Facebook, on social media sites, on, you know, we've all formed opinions, we've all had discussions, we've all had disagreements. It's part of our everyday conversation, but how many of us have prayed about it? Be anxious for nothing, but instead pray. So Paul says, pray. Let your requests be made known to God. God tells him to give that stuff to him. You know, to trust him, to just simply pray. I want to encourage you to, here are some things to be praying for. You know, you got outlines in your thing that have nothing to do with what I'm sharing this morning. And we'll pull that outline out again another day. But here are some things to be praying for. And I'm missing some things. I know that. There are lists coming at us all from all directions. But, you know, obviously be praying for those that are directly impacted by the virus, whether in our state, our country, around the world. You know, there are many people that are impacted right now. Pray for those researchers and medical personnel who are on the front lines, who are directly dealing with some of those patients. You know, pray for our health officials, that they will react accordingly and correctly. Pray for those who are at greatest risk. You know, pray for our president, our vice president, our world leaders, that they'll have clarity and direction. You know, pray for our missionaries around the world. We have a lot of missionaries serving Christ that are quarantined, that are confined, that are stuck in certain locations. They can't get out and minister to the people they're there to minister to. They can't get out of countries. You know, there for them, it's a reality of what's going to happen tomorrow for us, for our lives, for our families, for our ministry. You know, pray for your pastors and your church board. Will they agree with the decisions we make or not? Pray for us. God gives us wisdom and that we seek His direction. Pray that hearts are drawn to God during this time. You know, there's a lot of people with a lot of questions right now. Not just because of coronavirus, but think about in the last several months, the things that have been happening around the world. In Africa, the locusts, you know, destroying the crops and the famine that's taking place. You know, the wildfires, the tornadoes, the earthquakes, the on and on the list goes. There are a lot of people with a lot of questions. Pray that people are drawn to Christ, that their hearts are drawn to Him, and as we're able to share the truth with them, may we be faithful to do that. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus tells His disciples in verses 19 and 20, He says, "Go and make disciples of all the nations. See them come to Christ. Now, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I was going to preach on making disciples today. Jesus said, go and do that. And that command is for us, to go and proclaim the gospel message. So I said, people are scared and they're looking for answers, and we need to look for opportunities to talk about Jesus Christ. You realize He is the answer to the world's need. They need Christ more than they need a vaccine. But do we look for opportunities to share Christ? When people come with questions, do we take advantage of those opportunities? Last one I want you to turn to, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verses 16 through 18. He says, "We know love by this, that He, Jesus, laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth." You know, in this time of uncertainty, in this time of fear, in this time of people not knowing how to respond, we need to reach out in love to those around us, those who are in need, and not be afraid. You know, but show the love of Christ. You know, minister to them. You know, all of you are just exactly like me. You have probably received, I think I've received an email from every single organization that has my email. Whether it be a bank, whether it be Myers, whether it be businesses, this is what we're doing, this is how we're responding. I'm getting from mission agencies. Somehow my email ended up down in Georgia, and I'm receiving it from a pediatric in Georgia. You know, and you know, we're getting emails from everybody. We're being bombarded, and there's information coming all the time. And we obviously need to respond correctly to the information that we're given. But understand we need to be flexible, too. We as a staff on Thursday were talking about everything that was going on and said, well, this is kind of a direction we're leaning. By Friday morning, after all the schools have been announced they're going to be closed down, everything drastically changed in about 12 hours. So understand that as a board, as we meet tonight at 6 o'clock and come up with a plan of action, most likely it's going to change by the time you receive an email. So you may not even know it changed. You know, it might change three times. But, you know, we need to be flexible, and we're going to do our best to communicate with you. All right, this is kind of our plan. This is kind of our direction. We may come up with a plan for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and it may change after 1 week. You know, so just be flexible. Pray for us, please, for wisdom. Pray for me specifically that I'll stop worrying. And that some of you will stop saying stupid things. I mean that, think about it. How many times have I said something stupid in the last week? Don't ask my wife, please. Because a lot of times when we don't know what to say, we say something inappropriate. And we don't say something that's encouraging and loving and understanding. We'll pray that I'll respond correctly. Pray that I'll trust God in the process. I'm not a huge fan of Facebook. Don't have a Facebook thing. And I think a lot of things that are shared on Facebook or stuff doesn't need to be shared. But I think a lot of times it's a good tool where people can stay up to date with people they're friends with and different things. And Christy will share several things with me that she thinks I'd be interested in. And just in the last couple days, there's been some pretty interesting things. One of them, I think it was a local principal, shared this with the students as they were announcing that school was not going to be continuing for several weeks. And I thought it was pretty good advice. He said, when this is passed, there will be absolutely no way to know if we overreacted or went too far. But it will be very clear if we underreacted or didn't go far enough. That was pretty good advice. And I want to read to you something that Martin Luther shared as he was dealing with the Black Plague that claimed, depending on the numbers you look at, between 25 and 200 million people. It says, I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I shall fumigate, help purify the air, administer medicine and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed in order not to become contaminated and thus perchance inflict and pollute others so cause their death as a result of my negligence. If God should wish to take me, he will surely find me, and I have done what he has expected of me, and so I'm not responsible for either my own death or the death of others. If my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but will go freely as stated above. See, this is such a God-fearing faith because it's neither brash nor foolhardy and does not tempt God. You know, we have to be smart. We have to be wise. But we have to trust God and we have to be loving. So don't be offended when somebody doesn't shake your hand. You know, or when they wipe down the place you just got up from and left. Okay. Orson Welles, has a song out on the radio right now, and he says, he's got a plan. This is part of it. God's still in control, and God knows what he's doing. Now, right now, I want you, on this National Day of Prayer, right where you're at. Don't get in groups, just right where you're at. I want you to just take 5 minutes and spend some time in prayer. And then when we're done, I want you to realize some of us are going to sit here and think, man, that was an awful long time. Because we don't spend enough time in prayer. So I want you right where you're at. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to have you just stay where you're seated and have a word of prayer for about 5 minutes, and Pastor Jordan's going to come up and close in a song of prayer. So, Father, thank you that you are a God who's in control. That none of this catches you off guard. Lord, you love us. You provide for us. You are with us. But Lord, we do ask for wisdom. We ask for wisdom for President Trump, for Vice President Pence, for those in leadership, for the leaders around the world. Lord, we think of leaders in Italy where things are just devastating right now. We think of our missionaries. Many of them have no idea what tomorrow holds. We just ask for your peace. We ask for your direction and leading in their lives. Lord, may we trust you. May we follow you closely. May we look for opportunities to show the love of Christ. May we look for opportunities to share the gospel message. Lord, may we trust you. Lord, help us to guard our words. Kind of unsure what to say, just even this morning, sharing something stupid, like saying, don't be stupid. That's just, Lord, help us to speak love. Help us to realize you are a God who's in control. You're going to use this. You have a plan, and this is part of it. Help us to realize the part that we play. People are looking to us. Are they going to see Christ reflected in us? Are they going to see Christ reflected in our words? Are they going to see Christ reflected in our attitudes and our actions? And are we going to cower in fear, or are we going to trust you and reach out in love? Lord, I ask that you'll give us wisdom, that you'll lead us and direct us. And right now, as we pause and as individuals spend time just talking to you, direct our thoughts and our words. May we give those things to you. Lord, in my life, forgive me for that sin of worry that plagues me a lot of times. Help me to learn to be obedient to your word and to trust you. So, Lord, help us to be flexible. Help us to be patient. Help us to be understanding. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.